Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, and I'm Roger Marsh. April is National Autism Acceptance Month. Did you know that 1 in 54 children in the United States has been identified with autism spectrum disorder? The autism community is growing. And here at Family Talk, we are striving to encourage families who have or know a child with autism. I know personally in the Marsh household, my nephew Ian is autistic and just a wonderful beacon of light who loves the Lord, but deals with special needs. According to the Autism Society, autism is a complex lifelong developmental disability that typically appears during childhood and can impact a person's social skills, communication, relationships, and self-regulation. Today's guests here on the broadcast know how it feels to have a child who is diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. Mark and Jennifer Schaefer's eldest son was diagnosed with severe autism just after his third birthday. This realization shook Mark and Jenny's world, but through much hard work and prayer with diet and biomedical interventions, their son is now a thriving young adult with a high-functioning autism. Mark and Jenny have been married for 27 years, and they're our guests today here on Family Talk, along with Dr. Jerry Cartzenell. Dr. Cartzenell is a board-certified pediatrician and a fellow in the American Academy of Pediatrics. After completing his medical degree at St. Louis University School of Medicine, he completed his residency in pediatric medicine while serving in the Air Force. Following Desert Storm, Dr. Cartzenell practiced general pediatrics in private practice for 10 years until his fourth boy was diagnosed with autism. Today, we'll be sharing the second half of this important interview. To listen to the first half, by the way, just visit drjamesdobson.org. Here now is our own Dr. Tim Clinton with Mark and Jenny Schaefer and Dr. Jerry Cartzenell.
So we're blessed to have all of you here on Family Talk. By the way, you're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, filling in for Dr. Dobson today. We're talking about autism. It's Autism Awareness Month this month, and we're celebrating that and celebrating the families and the lives of those who are out there who are dealing with this every day and trying to raise kids and love on them and help them to find their way and their place in this big old world that we live in. Dr. Jerry, and I'm going to ask both you, the two of you too, Mark and Jenny, everybody always asks the question, why? Some people relate it back from what I've seen to vaccinations and so many different things. You guys no doubt have just searched high and low. Why? Dr. Jerry, let me start with you. Maybe you can throw in some wisdom our way, and I'll come back to Mark and Jenny on it.
Okay, well, first of all, we have to keep in mind that this is a worldwide phenomenon, this increase in autistic children. You know, in my medical training back in the 80s, the autism rate was between 1 and 4 per 10,000. Okay.
Wow.
And I've watched it go to 1 in 500, 1 in 188.
I mean, it's soaring. It's soaring.
Right, it's soaring. So something is affecting these children. And there's nothing that we can call like a genetic epidemic that affects all people all around the country, all around the world. So something's definitely impacting our children in a negative way. And, you know, there has to be a hard look at anything that we're doing to our children, cause and effect, whether it be the pesticides or ultrasounds or low vitamin D levels in pregnant moms. And, I mean, there's lots of different theories. And, of course, one of them is vaccines. You know, and as a doctor who listens to histories, I do hear over and over parents concerned about, you know, vaccines potentially being a trigger for this. But I also have kids who have not been vaccinated in my clinic who have also developed autism. So I don't think it's a very clear picture. I think the biggest thing that we have to focus on would be that there's actually really good treatments out there for our children to bring them back into our world, to be able to respond to stimuli, to be able to communicate with us, to be actually accomplish, you know, developmental milestones that until now most people would have just written off.
Hey, let's help our listeners understand this for a moment.
Yeah.
What's it like behind the closed doors? in an autistic home.
My wife just
I've gave
you
many stories.
It's like
Jenny.
A roller coaster, and it's like a tightrope walk, like the school.
Yeah,
you know, the school
dealing with schools is different.
Tightrope walking that, like, do I go in and talk to the teachers? Do I lay back? You know, it's like constantly you're constantly trying to figure out like how to manage them. You know.
But if it's not the schools, it's medical practices,
right.
It's therapies.
What do you want the church to know? I hear the spiritual dynamic here for a moment. What do you want people of faith to know about autism and autistic families?
You know, right off the bat when you asked me that, I was struggling to get help. And I don't mean just like dumping him off at a program or whatever, but like us parents, we need a body. We need somebody to come into the home and like help us. And I didn't have that. I mean, the area we were living in, nobody really wanted to do it. So
You're right. You isolate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of started hitting a bottom, you know. And I just finally wrote a letter to the youth pastor at our church. And I asked, I said, I need help. I need somebody that will come and just be with him for a while so I can get dishes done or like do laundry. I'm not asking for much. And you know what? This girl from the youth group showed up at the door and just came like 2 to 3 times a week. You know, we set up a schedule. She'd come for a few hours. My encouragement to parents out there is get involved at the church. If that church isn't accommodating your kid, move on. Keep looking. There are churches out there that will accommodate your kids. Mm. Keep looking and don't give up and ask for help. People don't know what you need. They don't know what we need. They don't even know what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to tell them what you're going through and ask for help. And don't
stop until
you get it.
Part of it's a lack of understanding.
Yeah. True.
And fear. There's fear.
They're afraid.
They're afraid. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid of being overwhelmed. They don't even know how to embrace this child, say, severe. You hear what I'm saying?
Yep.
What do I do?
Yeah.
Let me come back to Dr. Jerry again. He's a pediatrician, also has a son who is autistic. Jerry, my first question was why, but obviously this conversation is moving to how. You live this and you help people. You're helping this family. You're helping Mark and Jenny and more. What's your wisdom for us?
Well, first of all, realize that as you've mentioned, as if we're bringing it out, it's very, very difficult to raise a special needs child. They bring to us a whole plethora of medical issues that can be treated. The biggest thing, like for my wife, she would say, I can deal with just about anything during the day. Just get me 8 hours of unadulterated sleep each night. we have to get our kids functioning at a better level. We're not asking for the cure. We just want them to be comfortable in the skin they're in, happy. I think reaching out to the church is huge. Some of my wife's nastiest looks she got were from her, and I put this in 1980s air quotes, from her sisters in Christ. The number would pop up on the screen, and we'd have to go pick up Joshua. They didn't help us out to the car. He's tantruming. He's just, you know, landing gear up. We're dragging him across the parking lot, poor little guy. And nobody calls us up and says, how are things going? Nobody wants to bring us over dinner or anything like that. And it's like you said earlier, poor parenting. I said, look, I'm a pediatrician. I've raised 3 other boys. I know what I'm doing. It's not parenting issues. I think the biggest thing is to know that there is a lot of relief to be had, that these kids can be working at a much higher level, an easier level, a fun level, and to enjoy them and look for mentors who've been down the road. I mean, Jenny and Mark, I mean, if anybody asks them, you know, how do we deal with this? What are the approach? We have mentors all in the churches now who have had special needs kids who have been down that road who can come alongside these younger parents and give them relief and the support and the knowledge that they need. And I think that's really, really important that God does love each of us, that God will provide for us. We just have to ask. Sometimes we don't ask, and, of course, nobody knows. I was at a church once where I was trying to start a small group just with parents with kids on the spectrum, and I couldn't get the church to support taking care of the kids on a Wednesday night, So the rest of it, I said, look, I'll lead this. You don't have to even bring anybody. I'll lead this small group. And then you go to a church and they say, absolutely, whatever you need, we've got it. There's a huge number of moms and dads out there who are dying to get back into the church, but they don't know what to do with their kids. Once we get that fix, get that spiritual link back up, then we can unleash God's power to help these kids. It's just amazing that way.
Jerry, what are we going to do in the medical community because of the debate that's out there? You heard him saying about autistic kids and this diagnosis. What's your word on that?
I think, again, knowledge is huge, and the Internet, among some of the things that it can do, is provide knowledge and help us to know that there are things that we can do. You're absolutely right. Even today, you can get diagnosed at one of the major medical institutions, and they'll say, oh, by the way, don't try that gluten-free, dairy-free diet. It's a bunch of hooey for these kids. And just go ahead and sign them up in a residential care program, and maybe by the time he's old enough, he'll get in. And I got to tell you, like 70 to 80% of the kids that I take care of, they respond dramatically to a gluten-free, dairy-free diet.
Wow.
And yet
ours
the medical community
was really?
Oh,
really?
It was huge.
Was it life-changing?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. When I took my son off of dairy, and I had to take him off casein, which is the protein molecule, and that's back then, that was hard. You'd have to call around and find out if the product had casein, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, when I took him off dairy, he improved so much that our neighbors on the street asked us if we had put him on Ritalin. And wow. I said, no. They're like, what are you doing? Because he's doing so much better. And I said, I just took him off dairy.
It.
That was it. I hadn't even taken him off the gluten yet.
They described it as a fog had lifted from him.
Wow.
They were like, he's doing so good. 6 weeks later, I took him off.
That's what the parents want to hear. That's what they want to see with their kids.
Yep.
They want to see improvement.
I didn't notice it.
But you really got to do it. You really got to do it. You can't go, oh, today I'll just roll into Taco Bell and tell him to take the cheese off. You know, like you really have to do it. And I was home with my son for a year and just kept him out of all of the programs because he was left out on the playground in a special day class alone.
That had access to a street. He could have just walked right off. No one would have known.
It was just one of those That's horrible things that
shameful.
Happened. Yeah, but in a way, it was good in that I realized no one's going to take care of him better than us. So I did the diet, got him off gluten. He didn't eat for 2 days. He just was detoxing off the gluten. And once I got him through that, he started eating avocados. He started eating lettuce, like all this stuff that he never ate.
Really?
He had bowel movement. He says poo-poo goes in toilet and goes and does a poo in the toilet. He was 3.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then
he would eat anything we put in front of him. Before that, he was such a picky eater. It had to have cheese in it. It had to have gluten, like macaroni and cheese.
Isn't that interesting?
It's all the food that he was addicted to was giving him his symptoms. So then once we got him off the gluten, his hands went down. He started making eye contact. We started looking. Mark and I looked at each other. We're like, you know what? All these programs and stuff we have him in, that is not the answer. And we did this hardcore diet for a year. It was like I lived like kosher. I had separate pans. I had 2 toasters. You know, I really kept him off of it, and we healed up his gut.
Yeah.
And it was huge.
And Tim, I've got to break in right here just because Jenny, again, I want to give her all the credit for this. She did all the research. She was very, very strict about it. We had him on different vitamins, different minerals, all this thing through the doctors we were working with at the time. But this is an area in the family that is so tough for a lot of couples. Jenny and I have been, by the grace of God, we've been on the same page when it comes to treatments. So many families we see, what is the divorce rate, Jenny? Do you remember?
It's, the burden factor.
Yeah.
It's plus, like, they're making everybody crazy.
If they don't agree, like I have friends whose
husbands
don't, they don't want to do a special diet.
Because we're frantic trying to solve a problem here.
Yeah.
Or they don't want to spend the money. They're not on the same page with the money. They're not on the same page with the time. They can't afford to have the wife home. And so,
Jenny, you said something very important. I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to come back to you, Jerry. Jenny, you said it's individually specific.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, we don't do sweeping statements here. Each child is unique. The sensitivities are unique. The treatments are very unique. Jerry, let me bring it back to you. Anything else that was that you saw that categorically was having impact?
You know, I think that, and again, this goes back to the medicine. And if you think of it, these kids are like computers. They got a hard drive and they got a software port. And all of your therapies, your speech therapy, your physical therapy, your occupational therapy, your ABA therapy,
right.
Those are my software engineers. They're trying to load in proper responses and behaviors. But if the hard drive is broken, then it's going to be a lot slower of a program, a lot slower of a progress being made. And I think that's what Jenny and Mark were experiencing with these different therapists. When you get the fog out of the child's brain, get that hard drive working, then the therapies start to really catch fire. So another area that I deal with, besides taking away gluten and dairy, is making sure that they're sleeping well, and I might have to add a little melatonin. A lot of these kids have obsessive compulsive behaviors, and I can use some natural things, like
sure.
Tryptophan, or they have anxiety, and I can use things like ashwagandha. We have to use something, unfortunately, from a medical point of view, but if we do, why don't we try and use the safest things on earth before we get into the pharmaceuticals? Because if they go see a regular doctor, you're right, they might get put on something like Ritalin or whatever.
Right.
So there's a lot of answers that we already know in 2018 that can really help our kids function at a much higher level.
We're fighting the clock, you guys, and this is absolutely fascinating. I'm actually liking bouncing around. It's kind of like The View or something, right? Conversation everywhere. Hey, here's where I want to go in closing. Mm-hmm. There, no doubt, are some families out there listening right now, or friends, or family members of those who have an autistic child, and it's like their eyes are opening, and there's a sensitivity starting to build here. The word hope. Because I'm thinking about, Jenny, when I looked over into your eyes, I could see a young mom, you heard him saying, who was pretty frantic, who was broken, who was terrified, knew something was wrong, and was going to fight her way through it, mm-hmm. and still fighting every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Can you speak some words of hope here for a moment? I mean, you guys are in a different place today, obviously, than you were before.
Right.
God linked you up with Dr. Jerry, mm-hmm. who, by the way, is on his own journey. But can you speak some words of hope and encouragement to our listeners?
I just want to say, don't give up. And it's important that you pace yourself. Like, I went really, really hard, and I did get far, but I broke down after, like, 6 months of just going hard. So
that's that caregiving piece. It's like you're pouring out and you're not taking care of yourself.
Yeah, and when you're up till 3 a.m., you know, researching online, like, you've got to pace yourself.
Because you're going to make yourself crazy.
And, yeah, but every day, like, you know, try to do something for yourself, you know, and just, like, whether that's give yourself extra quiet time or, you know, go on a walk or, you know, whatever you can do. It doesn't have to cost money, you know, but just make sure that you're pacing yourself. I encourage parents, I mean, try everything. Like, you know, the reason we went the route with the diet and all that is because, you know, no one's coming on TV saying this cures autism, right?
Right.
So you got to do everything you can within your means and within your power.
Mark?
I want to say, boy, I look at my son at age 3, and I look at him now at age 17, and he is a completely different child, and we had no idea where he would go, what he would do, and now we're looking at him giving a driver's license. He's at a normal high school all by himself. He's doing it. He's going to 7 different classes. He's got 2 different lockers. He's, you know, managing his homework, although he needs a little bit of help from us, but he doesn't have anyone in the classroom with him. And I am so proud of the work that he put in. I'm so proud of my wife and what she's done. The last thing I want to say is the people that God has brought into our lives, Dr. Jerry, of course, is one of them that we're so grateful for. But there's other people, like he made mention of, that we've helped along, people who have helped us. One of Jenny's best friends is Amina, and she lives out in Chicago. And we just love her to death because she instructed us. So like Jerry said, having those mentors, the hope comes from being involved in the community. Yes, you will be isolated by some, but if you get involved in the community, that isolation goes away and you can actually get help and give help.
Keep searching.
Yep. Dr. Cartsonell, it's been great to have you on. Jerry,
could you
give us some closing thoughts too about hope as you go forward?
Absolutely. You know, I always encourage the parents to grow with this, to make sure that each of their needs are being met. I encourage the family to understand the love languages of the wife and of the husband, and to make sure that we're taking care of the marriage. We're still able to get out on a date night. My mom, when she was with us, she'd come over and watch all the boys, and my wife and I would still be able to go out on a date and have some fun and see a movie. And I think it's really important to keep that marriage strong, keep it vibrant, keep it exciting. And for us guys, you know, mostly, not always, but mostly it's the women who are driving the ship. And for us guys, we just have to be able to say three simple little words, as you wish. And it goes so well. The women will do anything. Us guys, we'll go out and we'll work two jobs if we have to make the money.
Yeah.
But we just have to make sure that we nurture each other, not to forget the other siblings in the family.
Yes.
My wife would take the other boys out on date night, and I'd stay home with Josh or vice versa.
That's a big word.
And it was just, this is so hard that it'll either forge your relationship that can never be broken, or if you don't take care of the marriage relationship, it'll blow apart. And that's why the divorce rate is so high when you have a special needs family. So I've got to keep them together.
It has been such an honor to have all you, the three of you on the program today. I tell you, if it's done anything for me, it's made me more tender toward these children and toward families who are raising these kids. You know, there's an old song growing up I used to hear, "What I Like About You." You know what I'm, hey, and you know what it is? We have to think that way. Coy Tomlin, again, friends of our family, the Tomlin family back in Lynchburg. Coy is about 22, I think, 23. He calls my son Zach his best friend. And we kind of have helped adopt him into our family. So when we go to baseball games, Coy comes up and sits with us in a special place, and he'll stand up and yell, and he'll shake the whole crowd up. "Blue, that was a strike, Blue." But you know what? Everybody loves that boy. Mm. You know why? There's something special about him. Mm-hmm. And hey, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. God's at work. You know, in closing, I want to encourage you as a family, maybe as a mom or dad, go up on YouTube right now, and I want you to type in this phrase, "A Father's Autism Song." Mark actually put this together in honor of his son. And we'll also have a link on our site at drjamesdobson.org, "A Father's Autism Song." It'll touch you, I promise. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. A real pleasure
to have you. Thank you. Our special guests again today have been Mark and Jenny Schaefer and Dr. Jerry Cartsonell, a pediatrician joining us, talking about autism. What a fantastic program. If you or someone you love, you're on that journey, I'd like for you to visit us at our website, drjamesdobson.org, for resources, encouragement, hope, and help. For Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Thanks for listening.
Well, that concludes our two-day conversation with Mark and Jenny Schaefer, with a phone-in from their son's physician, Dr. Jerry Cartsonell, here on Family Talk. As you heard, all of our guests today know firsthand what it's like to raise a child with autism. Like Jenny said on our last program in part one of this interview, every child with autism is different, but there is support available for families who need it. Now, to learn more about Mark and Jenny Schaefer or Dr. Jerry Cartsonell, or to hear any part of this two-day interview that you might have missed once again, go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. You can also give us a call anytime, day or night. We'll be happy to answer any questions you might have about the ministry of Family Talk. We can also recommend resources for you or just simply pray with you. Our number is 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. 6825. From all of us here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, thanks for listening to Family Talk today and every day. I'm Roger Marsh. Join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Tim Glinton with the James Dobson Family Institute. You want a quick and easy way to listen to Family Talk? Well, hey, we're excited to tell you how you can catch our daily broadcast on Amazon Alexa. That's right, Amazon Alexa. This hands-free smart device allows you to hear myself and Dr. Dobson while you go around your daily routine. Once you enable the Family Talk skill, say, Alexa, play today's broadcast of Family Talk. It's as effortless as that. Learn how you can set up Family Talk on your Amazon Alexa by visiting drjamesdobson.org/Alexa. That's drjamesdobson.org/Alexa.